All right. Friday, we've come to the end of another week crawling to the finish line, but we made it. Time for double happy hour here on 90.3 WHPC at 5 o'clock on a Friday. Time for American Radio, so make it a triple happy hour if you're so inclined. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Tom Ryan. I'll be with you for the next hour. My lovely wife and co-host, Heidi, of course, will be with us as well.
I'm always here.
Yeah. Now, Fridays, of course, we call it How Music Changed, where we take a real deep look at a couple of different topics, 250 that we have on our list. And when I say deep, I mean we're willing to go through an entire year to cover it for, 50-some-odd shows, if that's what it takes. I don't think this one will take quite that long. But we're going to be here on Nuggets for a while. Now, Nuggets is a term that refers to garage, psychedelic rock, most of it from the mid-60s, say about 66 to about 69. I think that would be the normal time frame. There are some exceptions, but for the most part, that's what we're talking about. Rockers that fall into that category. Now, most of them, like I said, are artists that are like one-hit wonders with very strange names. But we start off in a weird place today. Oh, but, every song, we're also playing all of our songs alphabetically. So today's show is brought to you by the letter F.
Yeah.
Take that. Since we're presenting our collection of Nuggets in alphabetical order by song title, the sequencing that takes place is purely coincidental. But I can't help but notice that certain themes form by happenstance. For example, last week, we had almost an entire show based on California Nuggets. I think one song was an exception.
That's so weird.
Right? With this show, I'm surprised to see so many artists who later became quite famous under a different name. When they're releasing songs when they change the name of their band or whatever. So this is like them before their careers were propelled to a level of fame. So this is when they were mostly unknown. The one exception on a lot of levels is this first track because it's by Jan and Dean. Yeah, the two guys that did, the surf tunes, that little old lady from Pasadena and Surf City, that's Dead Man's Curve, all that stuff. I always associate Jan and Dean with the early 60s, but they were still around in 1967, and that's when they released this song called Fan Tan.
Fan Tan, Fan Tan, Fan Tan. Yeah.
I think it would be pretty obvious if I were to tell you that that track was off of a Nuggets collection called Where the Action Is, Los Angeles Nuggets. Songs that are strictly from the Los Angeles area. Hmm. Now, we move on to what I would consider to be a classic Nugget, although it's also very early in the time frame of what a Nugget would be. Not very early, but partially. The song was originally released in 1959 by a songwriting duo that called themselves Don and Dewey. They put the song out called Farmer John, and they were serious. Nobody bought it, really. It didn't sell much, but it was just there, sort of like in the abyss of time, being forgotten. And sometime around 1964, two brothers, the Chicano brothers, named Lawrence and John Perez, it's a guitar player and a drummer, and they would rehearse in their garage together, real, true, honest-to-goodness garage rock. That's what they were doing. And a producer heard them and suggested that he would record them if they recorded Farmer John, because what he thought would be really hip was to find something that was sort of as ridiculous as Louie Louie. Now, Louie Louie was out in 63, so this is 1964, so the timing would have been great. And man, that producer knew exactly what he was talking about, because the song became a top 20 hit in 1964. The Perez brothers released it under the name The Premiers, and it's a song that went on to be covered by, even Neil Young does a version of this. How about that he released sometime maybe about a decade or so ago? Hard to keep track these days. Anyway, here are The Premiers with Farmer John.
How's your pagoda?
Has anybody seen Kosher Pickle Harry?
No!
If you see him, tell him that Herbert is looking for him.
Who's Herbert?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. The Premiere!
Farmer John.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about when I say we're going to play Nuggets for the next hour. It's songs like that. And a couple of strange sleepers that, to me, that's the most fun part about all this. That was, of course, Farmer John. Now, like I said, we're doing things in alphabetical order. And this time it works out both ways. The band is called Fire. Now forgotten, but the members of Fire, a good number of them actually, eventually went on to form the band Straubs, the English folk band. But this is taking things back a couple of years before that, 1968 to be exact. And the song's title is perfect for a nugget. It's called Father's Name Was Dad. Pretty hot. There's a nugget for you. That's fire. Father's name was Dad. This is a band that I would not consider as a Nuggets band. I would consider them to be a pop band. But I guess it really depends on everything's perspective, you know? So there's no doubt about that. This is, next track is by The Grassroots. Now, The Grassroots were sort of a studio project in the beginning. It was the product of two songwriters, P.F. Sloan and Steve Barry. They were working for Dunhill Records, and they were going to write songs to help their label, and they were trying to basically find a band that could perform the songs that they were writing. And so when they saw that a San Francisco band named the Bedouins that had won a battle of the bands at a teen fair, they were like, oh, this is it. That's our band. You know, we last week we were talking about, you played at a bowling alley and they got signed. Somebody else was playing on this, right? The other band was playing.
Back in the day, that's how people were discovered.
It was so easy, it seems. It's so much harder now. Well, you know, they went on. They became, you know, reasonably popular. They had a song like Where Were You When I Needed You and did well. Although they were the backup musicians for bands like the Mamas and the Papas and Barry McGuire and people like that. But a lot of the members began to drift away. And they had to form a second band. They started all over again. And this time they found a group that called themselves the 13th Floor. Not the 13th Floor Elevators, believe it or not. A totally different band. And with that group, that's the band that went on to record songs like Let's Live for Today and Midnight Confessions and songs like that. Made, you know, quite really popular stuff. In the midst of that era, they released this song, officially a nugget, because it appears on one of the Nuggets albums. And it is a song that is entitled, what is it titled? Oh.
Feelings.
Feelings. You're exactly right, by the Grassroots. Huh. Mm.
it seems to me that you will always be very close to me, close to me, very close to me now. Don't need to tell you now, at a time like this, my feelings can't be helped. That's the way it is, the way it is. Oh, it's the way it is now. I've never known you enough. Feelings I've hid inside. Feelings you've never known. Feelings you've never found. Just how sad a man can be. Oh girl, can't you see that it's me? Can't you see it's me now?
Grassroots, song called Feelings. All right, now here's one of those bands that you wouldn't recognize them by the name, who they eventually would become. It's credited to the Gollywogs. Before they were the Gollywogs, they were the Blue Velvets. It was three guys, high school friends, who played instrumentals and stuff like that. And one of the three friends had an older brother who could play guitar and sing, so they backed him up. And they eventually got signed to Fantasy Records. And there, the label decided that they would change their name to the Gollywogs. And they would also mess things up a little bit because they figured, okay, maybe we're going to make this guy the lead singer instead of that guy. So the older brother ended up becoming a rhythm guitar player. And the younger brother ended up moving up to become the main songwriter for the Gollywogs, while the others switched around their musicians somewhat. They stayed at the Gollywogs until two of the members got drafted and entered the Coast Guard of the Armed Forces. When they came back, they decided to reform, and they decided to change their name, too. So when they came back, they almost called themselves Creedence Newball and the Ruby. That would have been bad. Gossamer Wump was another possibility, but the one that they took was Creedence Clearwater Revival. But before they were Creedence, here they are as the Gollywogs performing Fight Fire.
You
really changed their style of playing.
Right? That's another example of you would never, ever really guess that that was CCR, Creedence Clearwater Revival, in their early days called the Gollywogs. This next is one of my favorite sleeper bands from England. I've learned, I didn't really know them when they were popular in the 60s. Nobody in America really did. They just really got totally disregarded here. I discovered them like maybe only about 10 or 15 years ago. They're called The Move, Roy Wood's band. They would eventually be the band that would go on to formulate Electric Light Orchestra. But back then it was Roy Wood's project, pretty much exclusively, and he was writing all their songs. And it turned out that what he was told after they did a show, that they had a recording session the next morning for their next single, but they didn't have any material. So basically Roy Wood said, okay, I'm just going to, you know, basically write something in my hotel room tonight. That's all there is to it. So he had something in his head. He derived this riff from the Eddie Cochran song, Something Else. And he came up with this crazy psychedelic number. It's called Fire Brigade. Highly recommend if you're interested, go a little deep with The Move. They're worth it. There's a few about the first four albums are really interesting pieces of work. A lot of fun. All right, now we're gonna stay in England for another track. Actually, we're gonna be up in Liverpool. This is a group that had a lot in common with the Beatles. They're from Liverpool. They were coming up in 1963, they played at the Star Club in Hamburg, Germany, when the Beatles were doing the same thing, doing long stints there. They even toured with the Beatles around that point in time. They were called the Kubas, and nothing ever happened with them. I mean, considering the amazing success of the Beatles, it's amazing that the Kubas got left so far behind. By 1968, they were still around making music, and they recorded a version of the song The First Cut is the Deepest. Now, you know the song, right? I mean, you probably think of it as a Rod Stewart song. But who do you think wrote it, Heidi? Do you have any idea?
No.
The First Cut is the Deepest?
Were they on Apple Records?
No.
Okay, I have no idea.
Cat Stevens.
Oh.
Is the songwriter for that. Here, then, are the Kubas performing one of the earlier recordings of The First Cut is the Deepest. We'll be right back.
Somebody else is torn it apart, and they've taken almost all that I've got. But if you want, I'll try to love again. Baby, I'll try to love again, 'cause I
sort of psychedelic version of the song there by a band called the Kubas. First cut is the deepest. Now, this band we played a couple of weeks back when we were on the letter D before we did all the Halloween shows. They're called Kaleidoscope. I mentioned that there was an English Kaleidoscope and, excuse me, an American band that had the same name. The American band was more like a folk band. The English band was straight out psychedelia. The song that we played last week, or a few weeks back, I should say, was their second single called A Dream for Julie. We're going to play their debut single this time, a song that's about a plane crash or an about-to-happen plane crash. It's from their first album called Tangerine Dream, and the song is entitled Flight from Ashaya. Now, before we play that, I'm going to announce we're going to play two in a row. There's another, the next track that will follow that is by a band called the Pasternak Progress. Know nothing about them at all, except I can tell you that the song came out in 1967, and it is entitled, wait a minute, what is it entitled? Oh, Flower Eyes, which was actually the B-side of a song called Cotton Soul. So here's Kaleidoscope first, Pasternak Progress second.
Yeah. earth has grown a flower eyes to be the garden's queen. The roses and their family, the daisies and their company, all watched her grow now. They all watched her grow now. For my very own, to seize her from the garden's throne, to pick her from the garden's pride. Transplant her roots to die now. Transplant her roots to die. Transplant her. Oh no. A cat might reach softness of a music beach that lies beyond that softest cloud. The one that makes me feel so proud now. The one that makes me feel so proud. The one that makes me, oh no.
Pasternak Progress with a song called, rather cool song, I thought, called Flower Eyes. They're an LA band, by the way. I was able to determine that much. Speaking of which, so is this next male-female folk pop duo. They call themselves Lime and Cybele. They were on White Whale Records, and a lot of people call this song the first ever psychedelic pop record, being released in early 1966. I don't know if that's actually true. I'd have to basically see a good timeline for that. But early 66 is pretty early for a full-bore psychedelic pop song. By the way, Cybele was a woman named Violet Santangelo, and Lime was a guy named Warren Zevon.
Ooh.
Here's the track by Lime and Cybele called Follow Me.
My
Would you have ever guessed that that was Warren Zevon?
Not at all.
How about that? Lyman Seibel back in the day. Follow me. Okay, we're going to pick up another band that we played a few weeks back, a band called The Motions. If you remember, I was talking about a Dutch band from The Hague. This yeah. was them. The leader went on to be a founder of the band Shocking Blue. Back then, meaning a few weeks ago when we played The Motions, we were playing a song called Everything That's Mine. This is another one of their singles. This is called For Another Man.
I can't stay here cause you treat me bad. You don't buy wedding rings and don't want other things. Don't tell me that I'll get you if I try. I know that you don't care and want no love to share. Stay here cause you treat me bad. You don't buy wedding rings and don't want other things. Don't tell me that I'll get you if I try. I know that you don't care and want no love to share.
Quick one. That's what we're talking about. That's what singles were like in the 60s. That's The Motions with For Another Band. Here's a band with a great name for a Nuggets song. They're called The Guillotines. And they're out of Memphis, which is fairly cool. They've got this really like semi-Memphis hard rock and roll combination sound. They met as members of a touring version of The Marquees. They needed a bunch of guys to basically play the rhythm instruments in back of the horn section. And these three guys were doing that. And they eventually got a manager who picked them up and decided to bring them to Los Angeles. And there they did a lot of TV, American Bandstand, Hullabaloo, Where the Action Is, all those cool shows that we used to watch before we were teenagers in the, well, before I was anyway, in the mid-60s. Well, here's The Guillotines then with a rockin' tune called For My Own.
And soon I'll take you for my own.
Man, we're just ripping through them today, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
How about that? It's already, we got 12 songs in already. Sometimes I can't even get 8 or 9 songs in an hour.
The joy of a short song, I guess.
Yeah, and it's...
And not a lot of information for many songs.
For some of them, right. I can only go so far with nothing but a record label and a song title. Not the case with this next band, though, although I had never heard of them before. The band is called Black Pearl, an American band, originally based in Boston. In fact, originally, they were members of a different Garage Nuggets band, the Barbarians. On our very first show, we played the Barbarians performing Are You a Boy or Are You a Girl? Very popular Nuggets song. Well, what had happened was the band had a drummer named Malty, and more about him in future shows. But the band had a gig in Colorado, and Malty didn't want to go. So they eventually ended up squeezing him out of the band, and they brought in a different drummer. And when they made that change, they also brought in a different singer, and they changed their name from the Barbarians to Black Pearl. Now, the band ended up with a 3-guitar lineup, I mean, a 3-guitar army. This is a heavy band. I mean, this is, you know, like as heavy rock and roll, like what Buffalo Springfield were about at that time in the mid-60s. Mm. And the lead singer, B.B. Fieldings, should have been J.B. Fieldings. He was totally obsessed with James Brown. And in fact, even on their first album, they did a 12-minute version of Cold Sweat. So that says something. Well, here then, I won't play a 12-minute song, but I will play a single, which is a little bit long for a Nuggets track because it goes over 3 minutes. Here's Black Pearl with Forget It. We'll be right back. hear the James Brown bit there?
Oh, yeah.
That's Black Pearl. Forget it. That's a forget it. All right. Now, let's talk about a band that you might have heard the name of. I'll give you a little bit of their history. They're called The Great Society. They had a faux hippie or a fledgling hippie model who was their lead singer. Her husband played the drums, and his brother played guitar. The husband was Jerry Slick. The brother was Darby Slick. The wife is Grace Slick. And they were working in the San Francisco area, trying to basically get it. Was Grace herself said that she had heard the Jefferson Airplane, and that inspired her to put her own band together. And they eventually would even get a job opening up for them. And they recorded their first single with producer Sylvester Stewart. Yeah, that guy, Sly Stone, was producing them. And he eventually walked out on the band as they were trying to record the first single, because they had the A-side, which was their version of Someone to Love, which would eventually be recorded by Jefferson Airplane and become very famous. Didn't go anywhere with Great Society. But they needed a B-side, and that was this song called Free Advice. And it said that they took over 50 takes before they got a good version that they could use. So Stewart walked out. He couldn't take it anymore. Well, eventually, the band was offered a recording contract, but while the recording contract was in the mail, so to speak, it turns out that the lead singer of Jefferson Airplane quit. So Grace quit Great Society to join Jefferson Airplane, which pretty much destroyed Great Society, because the only thing they really had was the girl singer that was the big attraction. So here is the Great Society with the B-side of the original version of Someone to Love. It's called Free Advice.
Woman says she loves me, she gives me free advice. Woman says she loves me, she gives me free advice. I wonder who it is who loves me, she wants me to be so nice. Her friends, they are perfect, but I'm always
when you hear Great Grace Slick on that one.
Oh, yeah.
We've got time to squeeze in one more. We're going to end with a monster. It's a huge hit. You're going to know it immediately. From probably what was maybe the best band from Australia in the 60s. Songwriting team of Harry Vanda and George Young were responsible for most of their material. If you saw a picture of George Young, you would have swore that he was in the Bee Gees. Anyway, George Young is also the older brother of Malcolm and Angus Young. Yeah, those guys from AC/DC. Their older brother was in the Easy Beats, and he's the guy responsible for this awesome hit, you know it, Friday on My Mind, which it happens to be. Enjoy the evening, folks. We'll see you next week. Take care.
Monday morning feels so bad. Everybody seems to nag me. Coming Tuesday, I